I've come to realize that it's probably because our teaching has placed a greater deal of emphasis on him seated on the right hand of the Father. And we're seated in him, in Christ Jesus. And, you know, we talk about authority. And that's all so good, that teaching. It's true. But we are so conscious of being made of clay with our feet on planet Earth. So we're down here. And we've created a gap somehow in our understanding. He's there, exalted in heaven, and we're down here. But my head is an organ and the headquarters of my body. Jesus is in his body. He's not separated from his body. So he feels the pain of his body. Interesting. I was about to have a meal and I was feeling pretty hungry in another village. And the chicken was going, bop, 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 and I thought, oh, dear little thing. And suddenly I realized that that was going to be my dinner. The poor chicken disappeared round the corner and then suddenly, that chicken had laid down his life for me. I enjoyed the meal with great thanksgiving. Strange thing was, after a while, that little chicken suddenly came running round the corner without a head. Because as you know, sometimes the muscles and the nerves start to run, the chicken picks itself up and is going like this and running all over the place for a few minutes, and suddenly, poof. And the Holy Spirit said, that's like my church, separated from the head, flapping its wings, making a lot of noise, busy going nowhere. What a revelation. We can only exist when we lay down the ownership and give it back to where it belongs. And we do that corporately. And our mindset begins to change, and we lay down our labels and our pride and our arrogance and our history. And we, you know who are the greatest hindrances to a new move of God? Those whom God moved on previously. Do you understand what I'm saying? The leaders of a move of God often become the hinderers of the new move of God because it's not what they've received. We have to be so careful because we have the ability to hinder or hasten the movement of God. Awesome. What humility. He humbles himself to accept the consequences of that rejection of his truth and understanding and revelation. So if we're going to move truly into a bridal paradigm, we have to at the same time move into a one church paradigm. There's no alternative. That doesn't mean to say we don't respect the leadership, the covering. We need to respect our fathers. We are only giants, as you know, because we're sitting on the shoulders of giants of previous generations. And we have to show and honor our fathers. It's so important to honor our fathers. Even if they have gone into error, we still honor the things that they brought that advanced us. And we ask God, as Stephen did and Jesus himself did, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. We don't judge, God will judge. And so we honor our fathers, we appreciate that which we have inherited. But in our generation, he is looking for a new mindset. We appreciate the denomination and the inheritance of the church and its teaching and its emphasis that we come from, but it is an asset to us rather than a hindrance to our fellowshipping. We bring that flavour. We bring that coloured thread to the whole tapestry. And we weave it in. But there's a much bigger picture. The whole tapestry of God's eternal purpose. Unity is the heart cry of Jesus. And he's still crying. What would you say was the greatest prayer of Jesus? The prayer of Jesus in the garden. Father, take this cup from me, but nevertheless your will be done. That's a great prayer. The prayer of complete and utter submission. Without it, we wouldn't be here today. He wouldn't have gone to the cross. Or the Lord's Prayer. That's certainly been prayed. Better called the disciples' prayer, because they asked and he gave them that prayer. Either as a type of prayers. Break up the sections, see the supplication, see the praise, see the worship and so on. And model your prayer on that. Yeah, that's just wonderful. Or as a prayer to use. And certainly it's been translated into every language in the world, and we all say it. It's probably the most well-known prayer. That's a good choice. Or the prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. But every single one of those prayers has been fulfilled. He did go to the cross. He did submit to the cup that he was to drink. God did forgive us all for Jesus' sake. And we do say the Lord's Prayer and have learnt so much from it. But there's one prayer that has never yet been fulfilled. And that's the prayer of John 17. And it's the prayer of this season. Because without praying that prayer, and by praying it, doing, being doers of the word as well, seeking oneness with one another, laying down our lives for one another, it's not short than anything less than that. God has turning up the bar. He's putting up the pressure. He's saying, find me a man. He's now saying, find me a generation. Will you be that generation? Utter obedience, obeying an order. We were talking in the car coming that in the army you must obey an order within a few seconds, otherwise you're court-martialed. Commander Jesus, he gives his orders. And we say, excuse me a minute, but can we talk about that? Have I got it right? Did you say so-and-so? But don't you think that's a little bit... Okay, God has given us a mind and a heart and knowledge and wisdom. And he does invite conversation. He did with Abraham and with Moses. He does engage us. But that's his grace that does that. He doesn't need to. But our response should be coming from, Lord, I want to obey, but I don't understand it. Or is there anything you need to show me or change me? Or, Lord, I'm feeling a resistance to that. Please, I acknowledge it. I repent of it. Please, change me. So unity of the body is a prerequisite for vital identity. And it's so important. And if you sense this morning that your mindset is still church-based, in the sense of denomination based, where is your loyalty? Do you find that you have a loyalty, divided interests? Is it to your church or is it to the kingdom of God? And is it to God's purposes in this region and in this nation and in this world? If you find there is a conflict of interests, you need to resolve it. He could take you out of that church just like that. And all those years of loyalty. What was it for? Yes, if you are placed there, you'd be loyal to it, but never ever put it above God. Let God be first in everything, and your brother second. Or maybe I should say, put God first, your family second, and your brother then. Because we can get that wrong. So that we have many disgruntled children who don't want to follow the Lord because they've seen Dad only once a month because he's been too busy in the ministry. It's a different mindset, isn't it? So, brothers and sisters, just a short message, but a very important one. That if we are going to be the bride of Christ, then there is only one bride. And we better start walking in unity now. That God feels the pain of his broken and divided body, which it still is. That we should seek at all times to honour one another of every denomination and every movement of God. We should encourage, we should... You know, when I first went away, I went away with an Anglican priest, but I came from a Salvation Army background because my parents are Salvation Army officers. So I had a wonderful musical upbringing and praising and so on. But then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then attended a local Anglican church. And so working with the youth, I got confirmed. And when I discussed it with the bishop and I said, look, I've been baptized in the Spirit. He said, never mind. He said, when I lay my hands on you, you just say, I'll receive more. I said, that's good enough for me. So when he laid his hands on me and said, receive the Holy Spirit, he winked at me and I said, I receive more. It was necessary and expedient to do the job that I was going to do with the youth. And that was okay. But I appreciate all that God has done throughout the denominations, but they've often come about because the truth had been given and the truth had been rejected by others, so they formed a separate group, or they took the truth that they'd received and formed a group around that truth. Or administratively, they found another way of doing something, and the difference was based on administration or method or style. And yet what God had done was to breathe new life. And every move of God was a gift to the whole body. All the revivals and refreshings are to condition us to receive the next move of God. They're not so we can get blessed up. They're to condition us to receive the next move of God for the whole body of Christ as he moves us along the eternal purposes of God. So there's a lot of mindset changes that have to take place here. Okay? So basically, that's what I want to say. It's so important. He feels the pain of his broken body. He prays even now for the unity, which is the greatest testimony we can ever bear. And he promises that the world will believe, that the world may believe, but inherent in that is a promise that if we are in unity, the world will. It's almost a foredrawn conclusion. See how they love one another, they said. These men have been with Jesus. So bless you. Good. Amen. Amen.
That is short but deep, eh? I want to ask Pastor Anna, please, to help us. I think it's really deep, and I think we are really in offense to towards the Lord.